Yes, we have to do the short adjustment. Yeah, so we're not exactly alphabetical because W comes after S, but that's okay. That's all right. So thank you all for coming. I'm having one of those days, which seems to happen more often. So I'm going to read my maddest poems. Fuck you, memory. I have no use for you with your dead in coffins, your love dangling on the edge, a dial tone steady as a reaping, emergency broadcast warnings interrupting the best part. My heartache seeping through all the brick and mortar I spent years constructing. The searing of dawn when the alarm calls me and I'm reminded I wake up alone. Fuck you, memory. You're filled with cinders and grime, caskets and casts, Valentine's never opened, eye contact dead on arrival, first dates stirring a drink until the whole charade is over. The end of James. He said, for the rest of my life, I will be a four-year-old boy getting the shit kicked out of me behind the barn. And I thought, if I put my hand on his chest and opened my mouth, if I swallowed him whole, wiped the black from his eyes, put my head against his lips, he could eat my thoughts, hear my mind hum, saying, undress him with words like sanctimony, fire, sweet to the touch. If he pushed into me hard enough to erase the barn and the swing and the hand that came down, the almost fist in the air, the crack of bone against bone. If only I made his eyes gloss over, made him see the holy light in the angle of my calf, he wouldn't have to think again of being four. He wouldn't grow taller, get bigger hands, stronger legs for the kicking and swinging at his own sons and wives. His almost fist in the air, bricks behind the bowling alley. But he cannot rip off my lips. At night, before bed, at the bus stop in the middle of March, after coffee, work, I kissed and kissed. A four-year-old boy wouldn't know of houses with holes, that little boys fall and sometimes die from endless picking. Thorns off rose bushes, loose lids of pill bottles, locks on the neighbor's patio door, the ignition. I wanted my lips to resurrect him. I wanted the scarring to stop. All right. So this is a piece about sort of when the relationship gets routine. Right? His erection reminds me. It's time to ready for work. Put on my best resume face, the pale lipstick with the hint of shine, roll up my shirt sleeves, start filing in alphabetical order. There are a few names I'd like to call him. None I can say with my mouth full. I glance up at him like a three-year-old Caligula, watching his father Germanicus ride through the streets of Rome, gripping the reins with a tight fist. His erection reminds me. I love the lawnmower trimming the green. I love my mother endlessly rocking me. I love the perpetual motion of train wheels over steel. I am drowning in syllables. All I swallow is hollow humming, tastes like distraction, malfunction. There are better nouns for how I feel, asphyxiation. Nothing as deadly as the elbow strike. He hates this part, the takedown to the floor, his head off the pavement, free the blade from his grip, use it to slice open a fissure in the back of his neck. His erection reminds me there is no room for regret. Call it folly, the way I fancy you. Okay. So this poem is about sort of an unexpected crush as a teenager that I developed on somebody in the neighborhood. Love for the Undertaker. Under the white-hot light of the mortuary, turned over and over on the gurney, my daddy's body lay naked, alone with the Undertaker in that windowless room. He prepares his first corpse, rite of passage for a boy not yet a man, but by trade inherited, he must touch the most tender parts of skin. Does he do it gently? Glide his hand over the hollow cheeks, caress the bedsore bruises before inserting the embalming tubes? Does he hold my daddy's hand the moment he turns cold? It's been a long time since I've been held by a man. Perhaps I've never been. My daddy used to lift me to his knee. I pulled on his nose and rubbed my baby skin against his scratchy cheeks those days he wore a beard. The undertaker lifts him now, ties the edge of his jaw tight, slides the crevice of his eyelids closed without words. I want to grasp the undertaker's forearms, feel the fierce force his shoulder blades need to get deep inside, puncture the artery that runs straight to the heart, to have his weight cover me under the heat of so much light. So, these are some angry poems, obviously. And here's another one. Tends to be a theme in my work, but okay. Blur. I broke the can opener on purpose. I threw it on the ceramic tile and stomped when the plastic didn't crack. Sometimes I grind the knobs from the oven in the garbage disposal just to see the degrees blur together. I use the bread knife to cut grooves so deep in the cutting board it becomes impossible to wipe totally clean, or I stick the knives in the toaster to stab the bread and pull it out. Bend spoons nearly backwards like a Russian gymnast scooping out a bowl of heavenly hash. I rarely bend them back. Kick doors shut, throw hampers down the stairs each time I rush. I suck socks in the vacuum and relish that clogging, choking sound. But I never drop a mirror, not on purpose. Okay, so this is a poem that sort of explores the definition of a word, and it's called Rigor. A discoloration, a black and blue mark, his fists bloody from the jab, quick like a severing. Unrelated to hardship, the grinding of wheels, the belief that we deserve attachment, not as in love, a self, not to be confused with the I, suffering immeasurable. Rigor, as entreated with stiffness, a 2x4 against the thigh, a snip with shears, the brainstem from the spine, as in, I'll drive you down to the bone, as in, not operating freely, as in, the constant ticking of rage like an elevator, stopping on all floors.